Good morning. It's good to be with you again on this lovely summer day. It's, at least it looks like summer somewhere. But it's good to be with you today. And we want to especially welcome some of our friends from Lancashire, our longtime friends from when we first came to the UK. And God bless you as you listen today. And we also want to give a special welcome to Bishop Noel, who is watching today, first time for a while. So God bless you, Noel, as you listen today as well. I want to once again update you with our Crown of Blessing and how it continues to minister to people who are in desperate need. These photos that you're about to see are from Peter's brother, who is also a pastor in Uganda. And some of the families that are receiving the benefit of your giving, many of them who haven't perhaps eaten for days and have young families. And so your giving has touched people's lives. And I'm hearing that there are actually people expiring in Africa from starvation because of the virus. And so you are not only saving lives naturally, but there is story after story after story of the gospel penetrating villages and communities because of your giving. So God bless you as you have sown. And if you are inclined to sow again, as God prompts you, you can give through the website on the Crown of Blessing designation. You know, thank you again for giving. Peter Kamanzi was also telling me that the amplification of the gospel is taking place now at such a rate that the building that they're constructing, their new facility, is already going to be too small. That's good news. But just to let you know how God is using your giving and how the gospel is penetrating, even by just simply loving and sharing of what we have to bless others. So let's start our message today with a word of prayer as we look into this awesome subject today. Father, thank you that we can gather today and hear the word of the Lord. I pray, Father, that wherever this message goes out across the globe, that every person will say, I'm not just watching a Sunday message, but I am opening my heart and my ears to hear the word of the Lord today, that God might speak something to me, that I might embrace it in faith and see a harvest of miracles and the miraculous come in a greater way in my life. Thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do, because as faith comes by hearing, miracles come by faith. And thank you, Lord, today that miracle after miracle after miracle will occur simply because of what is done today in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're continuing, as you might have suspected, in our series From Faith to Faith in the Last Days, and our subtitle being The Harvest of Miracles. Is that God's plan and intent is that your life be a continual harvest of miracles. And so one of the objectives behind this series is to help us begin to live in our identity and practice our identity in the exercise of faith. God made you and he made me as products of faith. That salvation comes by faith. And so you are a product of faith. He made you to be a faith person. If you don't see yourself as a faith person, then what do you see yourself out as? A doubt person? An unbelief person? I hope not. And so it's vital to begin to accept that God has made you a faith person. As I've shared with you many times before, growing up, I didn't understand any of this. I thought of myself in the default position as a doubt person. And subsequently, I often did without because I was not a faith person. But when I began to embrace the faith message beyond my salvation, Then I begin to see God do things that I had never seen him do before. And I want to say to you that God wants to do more in your life than you have ever seen him do, simply because he's made you a faith person with the capacity of believing him as you hear the word of the Lord, embracing that and walking in faith, speaking in faith, acting in faith. And as a result, the miraculous comes more and more into your lifestyle. So we're going to begin by looking at a few verses of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 33. As we went over this verse a little bit last week, the Bible says, "Who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised." This Bible is full of promises, awesome, amazing promises. You and I will hold a Bible until we pass from this life, or we will hold a Bible plus we will see a harvest of the miraculous by faith. We will gain the promises that are in the book that have your name on them because the blood of the Lamb has written your name on every promise. So we are to be that people who gain what was promised. Let's also look at Mark 11, 23 and 24, which says, "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' God tells you as a faith person, you learn to speak to things rather than to speak about things. If you don't learn to speak to things, you'll never be a faith person. God wants you to be a faith person. He tells you how to live life. The world says, analyze it, weigh it up, get the facts, get some help, get whatever you can, do all you can. God says, I want you to learn to speak with faith. You'll throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says..." There it comes again. Anyone says, believes what he says. We see the significance of speaking, and we'll come back to that in a moment. It says, it will be done for him. So a faith person is going to have a sense of certainty that what he says will be accomplished, and there will be a harvest. There will be a result based on what he says, believing. And that's the way God has designed us. That's the way God has made you and me. And so it's important for us to grasp this as we develop our identity in Christ. And you know, sometimes people think, well, you know, I believed God at a former day, and God healed me of this, and God supplied some money, but you know, recently I've been kind of struggling, and I haven't seen much of the miraculous. But I want to tell you that you can recover your faith. You can recover your faith just as Peter did when he stepped out on the water and he had faith and he walked on the water and then he began to sink. And then Jesus took his hand, as Jesus will take your hand and lift you up so you can walk back to the boat in faith. Let me tell you a story. My father was a man of faith, and he grew in his faith. And as a boy growing up, I saw quite a number of miracles in our home, really kind of eye-watering, amazing things, and that's part of my heritage. But, you know, those things, though they encourage me and they help me and they provided a wonderful platform of understanding that I resurrected later on when I got the message of faith, I understand how you can believe God today, but down the road you can surrender your faith to doubt and end up not being who God made you to be. And my father was a man of faith. But in his latter years, he contracted prostate cancer. Because he was a veteran, they took him into a veteran hospital in America. And they did all these tests on him. And they decided that he could either have surgery or chemotherapy. But they didn't give him much hope for either one. And then because they thought he was a sort of a unique case, they were going to ship him off, fly him down to another state, put him in a veterans hospital there, and see what the more sophisticated doctors might say about his condition. And he had conflicting medical opinions. Isn't it wonderful when you got trouble and the experts don't agree? Well, we know about that already. But anyway, they sent him to another hospital, a large hospital, and but just before he went, he was languishing in bed in the hospital and had resigned himself to dying. My mother went to visit him just before they flew him down to another state. And she told me later what she said to him. She said, "Jim, all of our lives, you have taught us and told us to believe God. And now you're lying here in bed, accepting defeat, accepting and resigning yourself to what the doctor has said." Now, she wasn't prone to say this kind of thing to him, but she did on that day. You know, sometimes when people are in their most desperate situation, you can choose to comfort just by offering sympathy, or you can bring comfort by encouraging their faith. And she said, "Jim, you need to get up on the inside and believe in the God you have always believed in." And that's where she finished saying anything to him on that subject. Shortly thereafter, they flew him to another state and put him in this large hospital. They started again on all the tests. And they were kind of making up their mind what they might do. But they decided that because he was sort of a unique character, in that he didn't act like he was dying. In fact, he seemed to have such a bright, outgoing, positive attitude, they thought they would put him in the terminal ward where he belonged and see if he might bring some cheer to the other people who were dying. And so they put him in there. Well, he was ambulatory. He could walk. And so he got out of bed and he would go and sit by all the beds. And, you know, a military hospital is, you know, like the military. Everything is spread out. So he would go and he would sit with someone who was dying and he would share his faith with them. And he led many of them to know Christ as their Savior. And he encouraged many of them. And he told them, he said, "You know, it doesn't matter what happens to me, because I know if I were to pass, I know where I'm going. I'll know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." And he was like 3 weeks in this terminal ward, going around while he was in the ward himself and sharing his faith and encouraging and praying for people. And finally, they took him aside. Two psychiatrists sat him down in the office and they said, "Jim, what is it about you? We noticed that you have a different profile other than the other patients that are in the terminal ward. Where does this come from, this thing inside of you that makes you act like you're not here?" And my father said to them, "I'm so glad you asked. I'm so glad you asked. Because I have something that many others do not have. And that's a faith relationship with Jesus Christ." And so he had an opportunity to share the gospel with these two psychiatrists as the foundation of his faith. Well, by and by, about 6 weeks later, they said, "You know, we have to make a determination of what we're going to do with you, and so we're going to give you one last test." And so they gave him one of these things to drink that you drink it, and then they scan you, and they can tell where the cancer is, and so you drink it, and then they put you under the scan, and whatever. I don't know all the science, but I'm just telling you what I know. And so they did this, and then they called him in, and they said, Jim, we are sorry to tell you that you don't have any cancer in your body. We have the scan from here where it was here and there, but this scan shows that there is no cancer in your body. My dad recovered his faith. You and I can recover our faith. It's vital that you don't think you've canceled the opportunity to see God do big and wonderful things in your life, in your family, in your finance, in your marriage, in your education of your children. Whatever it is, God is there for you. And just like Peter, he'll pick up your hand and say, come on, let's take the walk you were meant to have. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9 is a beautiful verse. It says, by faith, this is referring to Abraham. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. I want to stop right there. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Now we understand that's Old Testament, and he made his home in the promised land, which was Canaan. For in the New Testament, we see it not so much as God taking us geographically from one place to another, but we see God taking us into the land of promises. He made his home there. He made his home in the promised land. I want to say to you, God wants you to make your home, the place where you live, the land of promises. Because you see, you'll never ever really be truly comfortable in a home that's not yours, in a home that God didn't make for you. He made a home for you, and that's the promised land. That's the land of promises. That's where you and I are meant to live. The alternative doesn't bear thinking, because there's so much sweat, anxiety, disappointment, and all kind of other things that are uncomfortable. He made his home in the promised land. Are you doing that? Are you saying, I'm growing my faith. I'm going to be a faith person. I'm going to so walk with Jesus and hear his voice. I'm going to stay so close to the Word of God that pretty soon what comes out of me, out of every pore of my being, is faith. It's faith. Well, last week we were looking at some of the characteristics or conditions of the law of faith, and we got started on looking at speaking words of faith. We had covered faith has to be based on what God has said that we've heard. It's not just because I own a Bible. God speaks something to you by the Spirit or by the Spirit from the Word. Whatever the case is, it's all based on the Word. And as a result of that, there's something generated inside of us that's called faith. And that is what is so powerful in the believer's life. And we also looked at asking in faith. You got to believe that if you ask God, it's not just begging, pleading, hoping, wishing, wanting, desiring, desperate, crying out. It's actually believing that because you ask, God said, I told you to ask. So if I told you to ask, I'm not telling you to ask in vain. It's not a pointless exercise. There's a point to it. There's a reward to asking in faith, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And then last week we got started on speaking words of faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 says, what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. A word that is near you and in your mouth and in your heart is, according to the rest of the verse, the word of faith. Close your eyes wherever you are right now and just listen. As I was meditating, God gave me a song. I want to sing it today. I'm not a great singer, but I want to give you what God has put in my heart. There's a song, there's a word in your mouth. There's a word in your heart, yes, there is. There's a word in your heart, there's a word in your mouth. Let it out, let it out. It is there. There's a shout that will come when you let that word out. It will produce. It's a word of faith. Don't deny that the word that he says is in your mouth. Let it out, let it out, let it out. You have so many appointments with miracles. There are so many joys you will share. Let the word in your mouth, let the word in your heart come out. Let the word come out. You know, it's so important to agree with God. Often in my life, I have neglected to agree with God, sometimes out of ignorance, sometimes out of stupidity, sometimes out of willfulness. But I know when I agree with God, I'm in a different mode. You're in a different mode when you agree with God. It's time God redeemed your tongue. And he redeems your tongue by letting the word of faith that is in you. There is something in you. You say, Pastor, how do you know it? The Bible says it's in you. How do you know you have a heart? You've never seen it. Well, science tells you that you have a heart. If you didn't have a heart, you wouldn't be alive. And the same is true for your Christian walk. If you didn't have a heart of faith, you wouldn't be alive. And God says, as surely as I've given you a heart, a natural heart, and a spiritual heart, any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You got a new heart. God said, I will put a new heart in you. And that heart's function isn't to pump blood like your natural heart. It's to pump faith. Faith. It's in you. It's in you. And some of you that are listening to me today, or you're wondering and you're doubting, and you say, but I don't have any history, Pastor. I don't have any background. I have no track record of being a person of faith. I've kind of struggled through my life. I've been a survivor, but I really can't say that I've seen much of the miraculous in my life. I want to say to you today that God made you no different than anybody else that he's redeemed in Christ. He's made you with a heart of faith, and that heart is not defective. It will release faith when you function according to God's word. It's there. It's there inside of you. And when you take your mouth and you speak just as you did in your salvation, what happened? The most awesome miracle of your entire existence took place. You believed in your heart and you spoke with your mouth. And shoom! You were translated out of one kingdom into another. What an awesome miracle. And that happened from you. It happened from you. And that's not the only miracle that God has put in there. And so it's vital that you recognize and embrace that you are a person of faith, you have a heart of faith, and you've got words of faith that have to be spoken. That have to be spoken. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13 says, it is written, I believed, therefore I will keep silent. No, it doesn't say that. It says, I believed, therefore, I have spoken. I have spoken. If you're a believer, you got to speak, and you have to speak consistent with believing. You have to speak consistent with believing. You got to speak consistent with believing. You have to speak consistent with believing. There's a lot of speaking going on, but oftentimes it's not consistent with believing. Oftentimes it's a regurgitation of our history, our disappointment, our hurt, whatever happened that wasn't good. That's what we talk if we're not careful. But if you're a believing believer, if you're a faith person, you say, I believe, therefore I speak. I like the scripture. Well, let's just, before we go to that, let's look at Exodus 14, just so you have an idea of what this is really all about. Exodus 14 says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt? You know, sometimes we don't realize how contradictory we can sound. Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. What was going on here? They were talking rubbish. In other words, they all had had so many lessons in faith. God had preserved them through all the plagues, and especially the 10th plague. And now they're leaving Egypt out of 430 years of slavery. And they've had so many lessons in faith. And you can imagine that initially they were quite excited, especially since they were leaving. And as they were leaving, everybody got well who was unwell, because the Bible says there wasn't anybody feeble amongst them. And so they had the blessing of divine health. And as they were leaving, they got blessed financially, materially, with clothes and jewels and all kinds of valuables. And so they're leaving, and so it's so good. You know, sometimes when life is good and you are blessed, you're thinking, all right, I'm on an easy road. But what happened was the first trouble that they came to, they forgot who they were. They forgot they were covenant people. They forgot that God had delivered them so many times. And they sank in panic and despair and doubt and unbelief. It's called a three-letter word, S-I-N. The sin of unbelief, expressed through a heart of unbelief. When I don't talk faith, there's only one other alternative. I'm talking rubbish. I'm talking sinfulness. And that's where they were. And so it's so important for you to be a person of faith who always speaks faith when the blessing's on, the favor's on, good things are coming, and your health is good, and your finance are good, your children are good, your marriage is good, your business is good, your ministry, all those things are good. But when you face the trouble, don't stop speaking the language of the kingdom of God. Don't stop speaking the language of faith. You know, I understand how difficult it is to sometimes zip your mouth and keep it shut when all around you there's all kind of rubbish taking place. It's easy to kind of join in the negative chorus and concert of negative behavior. But it's so vital to recognize that you are to speak faith. You are to confess faith. Romans 4 and verse 17. Romans 4 and verse 17 says, as it's written, I've made you a father of many nations. He is our Father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they are. you and I learn to speak a different language. And, you know, our confession is agreeing with God. Because, you see, your believing words are powerful. And receiving the powerful words of another is powerful. Because your confession is your inheritance. Now, last week we started to open up these prepositions of speaking faith. Speaking about and speaking to. And we just illustrated how Israel spoke about their situation, not words of faith, not saying to each other, "Hey, no problem, we're going in because God said it." It is called the promised land because it is the promised land. And God knows that the one who took us out is going to take us in. We couldn't get out on our own. Only He could take us out, and only He can take you in. I want to say to you, some of you are in a place that you wish you were not in. And the word of the Lord to you today is that the one who takes you out is going to take you in to the better place. He's the same God. He understands both sides of the equation. He's waiting for you to hear the word, believe Him, trust Him, and He'll do it. He'll do it. Your words are powerful. Don't cancel the reward of your faith by speaking negative about your circumstances. Say, wait a minute, I got to discern what's going on here. There's all kinds of things that are uncomfortable and dislikable. I would just soon not. They were not. But I can't afford to let something come out of me that's contrary to who I am, a person of faith. You say, Pastor, you sound passionate. Because I don't want you to miss out on anything that God has for you or God has for me. You not only speak about things with faith. These are the symptoms. These are the conditions. However, God has spoken to me. He says, I am a person of favor. Every day I get out of bed, I'm a person of favor. I didn't lose the favor while I was sleeping. When I woke up in the morning, I still had favor on me. I'm a person of favor. I'm going to walk in the favor of God today. I'm going to walk in the blessing of the Lord today. That's who I am. It's also important that we not only speak about things in a faith-based way, but we also speak to things. God teaches us to speak to things. As we saw from the scripture, Jesus said, if you speak to this mountain, to it, not about it. Some people pray this way. Oh God, you know this mountain. Oh God, you know this mountain. Oh, you know it. And God, I know it. And you know, the doctors, they've told me how big this mountain is. Wow, it's big, it's terrible. I've been so frustrated and upset and bothered about this. And you know, 2 hours later, they're still going on about the mountain. God didn't say, tell me about the mountain. I know about the mountain. I know about all mountains, literal and figurative. You don't have to tell me about it. I want you to talk to it. Talk to it. Yeah, but Pastor, you know, people don't do that. They don't talk to it. Well, forget what other people do. What about the manual? What about who you are? You got to learn a different way. You don't have to describe every detail. Oftentimes people come for prayer and I listen to them because that's a part of who we are. We listen. But sometimes they're going into every detail about their circumstance. And I just kind of, at some point, I've got to say to them, let's just kind of cut to the chase. What is it you need specifically from the Lord? Because I know the more they talk about in a negative way, the bigger it gets and the more their faith level goes. What is it you want from the Lord? Let's focus in on that and get that for you. Recently, I was speaking on the phone with someone and they were telling me their stuff. And so we kind of cut to the chase, and I said, okay, let's agree right now in the name of Jesus that this and this and this are going to happen now. And so we did that. While we were praying, I heard the phone ring in another part of the house. That person left the phone, went and got the other phone that was ringing, picked it up, came back and said, oh, Pastor, you won't believe that was the answer that we were praying just a moment ago. I want to tell you, your words are powerful. Your words are powerful. If you don't believe your words are powerful, let me tell you, one of the best lies that Satan often repeats is that your words don't count for anything. Look at all the words you've uttered that haven't made a difference. And so by the time you're through listening to that record until it's broken, you say, well, yeah, my words are, you know, pastor's words, they might be powerful, but my words aren't powerful. My words won't produce anything. Stop agreeing with the devil. Forget yesterday and its failures and disappointments and say, you know, I'm going to start believing my words are powerful. I'm going to start using the words of faith that are in here and come out my mouth, and they'll make a difference. And the track that I follow between here and seeing Jesus face to face is going to be littered with blessings and miracles that I spoke into being. Will you be that kind of person? Oh, you just kind of track along as you have been. Well, you know, I've never really been a very powerful person. That's the way Moses started. He says, you know, I'm not really very good at speaking. But what happened to him? The Bible says when you get to the New Testament in the book of Acts, it says Moses was powerful in speech and action. Powerful in speech and action. I want to encourage you to begin to exercise the power of your speech. Your speech out of your heart of faith. You know, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 tell us that faith is a heart and mouth project. Your words are so powerful. Your faith words are so powerful. And so God told Joshua, you know, you meditate in the word, what I've spoken, you meditate, it's cooking, it's in your heart, it's boiling and bubbling until it's there, and pretty soon it's not only just going up on the inside of you, it's not just your self-talk and your self-conversation and your self-meditation, but it's you're coming out your eyes, and it's the way you see, and it's the way you look at things, and so it's going on inside of you. You know, one of the things that I've been taught and I'm trying to capture in the rest of my journey is this simple truth that comes in three words. Three words. And I pray if you get nothing else out of this message that you'll get these three words today. These three words are based in Mark 11, 23 and 24. And these three words are things obey words. Things obey words. One more time. Things obey words. Mark 11, 23 and 24. You've heard it many times now. Jesus said, if you believe that what you say, it will be done. Speak to a mountain. Acts 14 and verse 3. Acts 14 says, so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking cautiously. No, it doesn't say they spoke cautiously. Haltingly. Uncertainly. No, it says they spoke boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of His grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. And so, you know, Christians speak like they're crazy as far as the world is concerned. They say things that are just off the charts and don't make sense to this world. It says they spoke boldly. They spoke boldly. You know, a few years back, my wife and I, we recognized that our freezer had died. It hadn't gone to heaven, but it had died. And so that meant everything had to be taken out of the freezer because it would all defrost, and what couldn't be eaten in a reasonable period of time had to be thrown away, et cetera, et cetera. So you have all this. And so she took everything out and stuck it in the sink and around the counters, and it was a big, tall freezer. And so freezers don't tend to be all that heavy, but anyway, she helped me, and we picked up that freezer, and we took it outside of our house, and we put it out in the front by the street, because in our area, the people who think that every day is Christmas in our community drive by and collect all kind of things, and so we knew that this discarded item would be collected by these people. And so we took it out there and we set it out there, and I went back and I sat down in the living room, and God spoke to me, Mark 11:23-24. And I want to tell you my thought process. I'm sitting there by myself in the living room. We've just taken the freezer out. Stuff's defrosting in the kitchen. And I thought to myself, well, Jesus said, speak to a mountain and it'll be done. And I thought to myself, well, if I can speak to a mountain, if I can command it to be cast into the sea, I can command something else to function as it was meant to function. Now, at that point, I wasn't referencing all the other miracles and stories and testimonies. I'm just talking about my freezer. You know, sometimes we don't remember everything, but we're focused. And I had done everything to make sure this wasn't some glitch. You know, I checked the cable, I plugged it in somewhere else, I took the fuse out, did all the sorts of things that men do to try to put something back, but it was dead, it was dead, it was dead. But there it's sitting out there by the street, and I'm sitting in the front room thinking about this. And then I got excited, because I wasn't just thinking about the scripture, I was hearing the Holy Spirit say, speak to the freezer. All right, I said. So I called Marley. I said, let's go get that freezer and bring it back in. She looks at me like, what? I said, just help me get the freezer. Okay, you know, she's a woman of faith, and she knows that when I do something that looks dumb, it could be good. Lots of stories on that side. Sometimes dumb things are dumb, but this one, anyway. So we went back out. I don't know what the neighbors thought. These people are kind of funny. They bring a freezer out and then they take it back in. Anyway, we went and got the freezer, took it back in, and stuck it in its position. And we plugged it in and switched it on, and it just hummed. And it worked and worked and worked. You know, I felt so good. Why did I feel good? Well, for one, we didn't lose all that food. But more significantly, God was trying to teach me something that I want to learn and practice all the days of my life, and that's about faith. Oh, but Pastor, you were lucky. Well, I don't claim to even understand luck, and if I did understand luck, I've never been lucky, as some people might define it. And it's never has luck gotten me out of anything. So I want to say to you, your words are powerful. Not just my words, your words are powerful. And we understand that God requires us to talk different than our circumstances. You know, that's why David spoke boldly about what he was going to do to Goliath before he did it. You need to speak to your Goliath. You need to speak to it and tell it you're going to cut off its head to the glory of God. That's what you and I need to do. That's why you come boldly before the throne of grace. And you hear what God has to say so that you can declare it, so it can come out of your mouth. Some years ago, God gave us a prophetic word, and he said, Rick, he said, I want you to open your mouth, and I want you to roar like a lion, because if you will speak, I will work in conjunction with the words of your mouth, and you'll see the miraculous. And I want to say to you today that I'm roaring against the sickness and disease in your body. I'm roaring against and rebuking the condition of your finance and what's happening in your family. In Jesus' name, I'm calling forth blessing and favor upon you and upon your children and upon your finance and upon your body. If you will hear the word of the Lord today, the lion is roaring in your ear today that you are well in Jesus' name. And that even as you sit there, your rheumatoid arthritis that the doctor said you have is leaving your body. It's not enough for this man to roar. God wants you to roar. And I want to say to you, as the small lion of this tribe, God has given us a building, and we will take absolute manifested possession of it. God is working in our behalf. His promises are yes and amen. It is done. It is done in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. What kind of person are you? You're a faith person. You're a person that roars. You're a person that speaks boldly. God wants you and I to speak and believe. Romans 4:17 speaks about calling those things that are not as though they are. And so you look at your body and you say, wait a minute, I have divine authority and divine permission to talk about my situation different than what the earth says about it. You say, Pastor, can you give us an illustration of that from the Bible? Absolutely. One of many. But Jesus went to Lazarus' tomb and he spoke to Lazarus as though he was not dead. You know, you generally in this world system don't speak to dead people unless you're into the occult. But Jesus spoke to a dead man named Lazarus. Generally speaking, when you're dead, you don't hear. At least science says so. But Jesus called those things that are not as though they were. And that's what he tells us we are to do as people of faith. You have to decide today to learn to speak differently about some things that you've never spoken about before. You need to learn to speak to some things that you've never spoken to before. To call some things that are not as though they were. You do this not because I suggest it, but because God commands you to be a commander. He commands you and he tells you how to do it by the way he did it. You know, Abraham did not say, well, you know, sometimes I kind of feel like I'm Abraham, and other times not. No, he said, every day I get out of bed since God spoke to me, my name's Abraham. I'm the father of nations. I'm the father of many. I'm the father of nations. Well, where's your kids? I don't care what you look at. I'm saying I'm the father of many nations. Every day, every single day, I'm the father of many nations. I'm well, I'm blessed. God's blessing is on my life. God's that's my confession. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying about everything that I wish was different. I am now saying this about that. I'm speaking to it. It's a different way of living. This is not the way of living that you get from education. It's not the way of living that the world normally practices. We're a different people. We have a different culture, a different kingdom, a different way of living, a different lifestyle. When you accommodate trouble. Yes, aren't there other factors? Yes, there are. You know, there's sin and repentance and humility, all those things, yes. But in the end, it's partly to do with your faith. Partly to do with your faith. It's vital to be a person who speaks faith words out of a God-created faith heart. As I close this message today, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you that you will step into a new place in your walk with Jesus. That you will be a person, a faith person, who will talk more to stuff than about it. And if you have to speak about it, you'll speak about it what he says about it. Yes, but Pastor, isn't that lying? No, that's not lying. That's triumphing over the things of this world with the things of heaven. Father, as we bow our lives before you, we pray that your Holy Spirit will come now in a fresh and powerful way in each of our lives. We will learn to live the way you intended us to live by speaking to things. And when we have to speak about things, we'll speak what you say. We'll make that our confession. We'll align ourselves with heaven and not with earth. Thank you today that sick bodies are being made well. Hearts are being encouraged. There's hearts that are pumping faith today that before were pumping doubt and unbelief. Thank you today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is penetrating us and reminding us who we are in Christ, who you've made us to be. The world is looking for people who have power in a powerless time. The world is full of so much uncertainty and inadequacy and failure. Lord, we're the people who have the answers to it all. Thank you for giving us both the responsibility and the power to bring forth those answers in our time and in the times to come. Thank you, Lord, for the goodness of the Lord that follows me all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, that as your word says, I have no fear of bad news because I'm anchored in the favor of God by a heart that produces faith words and faith words that produce the miraculous. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me encourage you today as you have time to just look at some of the songs that are at the close of the notes that you can find on the website. And let your worship just be a reaffirmation of who you are and what God has done for you and in you and what he intends to do through you. I believe that you did not hear this message today just by some Sunday routine, but because God wanted to say to you, I have so much more for you. I have so much excitement and joy and blessing and harvest and fruitfulness and the miraculous as you continue to partner with me by listening and responding to the voice of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.